Good afternoon. Welcome to Head and Grain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12.05 PM till about 1.30 PM. Your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. Hodlers are elated when Bitcoin reaches 8,500 this week, but they get whipsawed. Thursday evening, the SEC rejects the Winklevoss Twins Bitcoin ETF exchange-traded fund. Prices drop below $7,800. Then, just a day later, SEC Commissioner Hester Peirce releases her dissenting opinion on the decision, and hope comes back to the crypto world as well as higher prices. And Tuesday, this coming week, brings the Tampa Bay Blockchain Innovation Challenge Finals at Blockspaces, partnered with Hashed Health, Professional Credential Exchange, and Synapse, who sponsored the Innovation Summit recently in Tampa Bay, helping make blockchain and Tampa Bay synonymous. We're going to be speaking with Rosa Shores and Gabe Higgins from Blockspaces in the second half of the show and getting you up to date on what's going on there and what's happening on Tuesday. Well, reminding you that we are in the process of a hiatus on the Sarasota Bitcoin Meetup, Bradenton Bitcoin Cryptocurrency, Bradenton Blockchain Business Development Meetup. Probably going to have one event before Labor Day, combining all those things, and then we'll get back on a regular schedule after Labor Day and people are back from vacations, etc. Reminding you also to follow us on Facebook, Twitter. You can email us through those sites or message us through those sites. And your podcast is available on demand on most of your favorite podcast platforms. And that would be inclusive of iTunes and some others that we have in the works. Podomatic.com has your biggest archives. Well, it's a full studio today after Andy and I held down the fort last week. But we will let you know all who's in here after we introduce them one by one. Well, before we get on to everyone else, got to thank Andy for coming in and helping me out last week and getting through the whole show. I think we managed to do okay.
Yeah, I think we had a good time, Henry.
Yeah, and I don't even remember if we had a guest last week. Did we?
I believe we had somebody, the Florida State guy.
Oh, yeah, John Sutton.
That's right.
We will be back in the weeks to come. Towards the end of August, we'll have a couple of best-of shows or pre-produced shows. But let's find out who else made it this week here. Well, not too much of a surprise with this person. Financial woman, blockchain CPA, Kara Haas. Hi, Kara.
Hi, Henry. Great to be back. I've missed you.
Wow, and it's only been a week.
I know. Oh, mercy. Too long.
But lots going on in your life, I'm sure, that will probably draw out of you before too much time goes by.
I actually brought out the evil side of Kara on Thursday.
There's an evil side?
There is an evil side. I was blown away. I'm just glad I was not within punching range.
What happened?
He finally knows sign of life.
Yeah. So think Augie and I get into some text wars, you should have seen the one Thursday night.
I was in the,
Was this outside the group exchange?
This was outside the group. I was having to review an article that I wrote, and boy, I had to go back and rewrite the whole damn thing.
I am not nice, but I have.
Not
I am,
surprising.
I have now beaten, beaten Brave into Goldbug's mind, I believe, but I was a little harsh, a little fierce. You spent a lot of time on that, I'm pretty sure, especially on the rewrite.
All right. Well, more to that to come, I'm sure. Let's keep on working our way around the studio here. It's been so long, I forgot which intro liner to play for him, but we will say
yeah, you really
back
did
to Augie, and Augie has
that wouldn't have been it. You know, I need oil in my joints when I hear that thing.
Yes, well, we hope you get well oiled.
But you're speaking of coming back after a a slight sojourn of a couple of weeks or so. I solved a problem, and our good president recreated one.
You solved the problem.
I solved a problem. I fired a manager, hired a manager, and solved a bunch of problems.
Everybody's grouchy around here.
Well, on a local level, and then read the damn paper or ignore the news, but the trade tariffs with China are the stupidest thing that anyone has ever done other than Smoot-Hawley in 1930.
All right. And many of you remember that, I'm sure.
I'm sure they don't know, but then when you don't listen to the news, you don't have to.
Yes. You would have had a hard time watching the news on TV in 1930.
Well, it was new, but it wasn't entirely without happening.
But maybe you were staring at your radio. I don't know.
I was.
But the biggest surprise in the studio today for our regular listeners, who I think have been wondering about the long-term absence, and I have no verification or non-verification of the rumors that she was working deep undercover at SpaceX, researching her next science fiction romance novel about a mysterious woman that with a hidden past that seduces a billionaire entrepreneur who, although his nature is erratic, she straightens him out pretty fast. Back in the studio, Sabine Priestley. Hi, Sabine. What have you been up to?
Hi, Henry.
Any truth to the rumors?
I'm not saying.
Well, we know through Twitter's feed we will be looking at in a weak moment. We'll see what
Twitter posts. Way to blow my cover. You know, I told Elon you just wouldn't bring up SpaceX.
Well, I wasn't the one that just confirmed it. So, all right, we've got a lot going on here. Anybody else?
Must be to me.
With the social news update before we move into the Bitcoin and blockchain update. All right, sounds like that's a no.
I tell you, I've got news for you.
Well, the week-long crypto rally stalled late Thursday after the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, rejected the Winklevoss's latest attempt to list a Bitcoin ETF, citing concerns over fraud and market manipulation of the digital currency. As a result, Bitcoin briefly dropped below 8,000, hitting a low of, I didn't say it hit 7,389, but it
was 78 or 77.
It was under 7,800. A recent statement from SEC Commissioner Hester Pierce detailing official dissent from the agency's second disapproval has driven a relief rally into the weekend, although I think we're fading a little bit
now. Is it Hester Pierce or is it Pierce Hester? It's a woman.
Yeah, Hester's a first name.
Is that a woman's name? Oh, okay.
If you were listening to the news in 1930, you would have heard a lot of Hester.
There's a woman by the name of Hester Prynne is in a novel.
And you surely read that one, right?
Oh, absolutely. Right after Ian Rand.
All right. So anyway, the Bitcoin price is now around 81.69, which happens to be, coincidentally, this article from Friday was that. So we're in a tight trading range right now. Let's just go ahead, rather than me trying to read through all these details, we're going to play a brief clip, if you will, from Bob Pisani from CNBC. This was when he announced it. And then shortly after that, if you were watching your graphs, you saw the sell-off. Not sure if it was an educated sell-off, but I would doubt that.
Number one, they tend to move on regulatory news. And number two, any indication that more users might be coming online. In this case, this week's news is mostly about more potential users or traders of crypto.
Apologize.
So on Tuesday, the SEC, Sarah, is disapproving the BATS exchange application.
That was last week when everything was sunny with Bob and Bitcoin was at a slow 7,000, which he can't go. He had to Rain on the parade here.
To lift the Winklevoss Bitcoin ETF. This has been awaited for a long time. Some people have been anticipating that it might get approval. It is not. The SEC is disapproving. They are saying it is not.
Almost sounds like Kennedy was shot. It was not. Oh, the humanity.
Met a burden under the Exchange Act. The SEC goes on to say that their mission is to prevent fraudulent or manipulative acts or practices and to protect investors. The SEC is making it clear here that they're concerned about fraud and manipulation of Bitcoin. They note that this is done in a largely unregulated offshore market. They note most recent data would seem to indicate three-fourths of the volume in Bitcoin trading occurs outside the United States. 95% of the trading occurs on non-U.S. exchanges.
Andy, I don't know if you have this at your fingertips, but as far as equity trading, what percentage is done in the U.S.?
You know, to be honest with you, I don't know. But 95% is, that sounds a little
high. Well, 75% of the crypto exchanges, our volume is outside because Korea has a huge amount of volume.
Yes.
Japan, it's already regulated and
Absolutely.
Legal. They have a high, but I'm thinking the Chinese stock market must do a significant. You have the London stock market.
If you're looking in the Heston Pierce, is that Heston? Heston Pierce. She pretty much put on the Exchange Act. The 6B5 requires an exchange to have surveillance to prevent manipulation and fraud on their exchange.
We're jumping ahead in the details, but I just wanted to speak to that thing that's in Bob Pisani, because I know you've got the details for reading the decisions and things like that, but I'm just trying to capture the moment when this came out and what they were saying was the reason. And if it's because 75% of the trading is outside the U.S., I'm thinking that...
Well, there's a lot of gold trades outside the U.S.
Yeah.
I mean, all these... The LIBOR, they had the LIBOR. That trades outside the U.S., and that's tradable in the United States. And there's a lot of commodity. Rhodium. I mean, there's lithium. And those types of commodities are traded in the U.S., and most of the trading is done outside the U.S. So, it was a non-valid argument.
Let's see what else Bob had to say.
Express concerns about that. I would note one other important thing here. There is another Bitcoin ETF that VanEck has filed that they have made no comment out at all, and it is clear that that is still under consideration. So this is not a complete denial of all Bitcoin ETFs, but this is certainly the most well-known one. Where do we go from here? Well, the next step would be an appeal at this point, if they wanted to, if the Winklevoss twins wanted to the U.S. court.
Well, actually, this is a year later of appeal of the original submission 2 years ago. So Bob might have been a little off on that. We'll let Bob have the rest of the day off here and move on with that. So we have a
spy on CNBC?
Yes.
Oh, so somebody has to watch that to know what he's saying, pretty much. So.
Or listen to us.
I listen to the Henry Rain Show for my summary.
You don't have to stay in front of your TV all the time as long as you have a trusted source that can bring you the most important.
I understand that, Henry G. I didn't know. I'm glad you explained that for me.
Well, you've been gone a while, so I thought maybe...
We have missed you so much, Augie. Yes, you're not looking enough at my smile. All right.
Hey, it's been a while, Augie, because you obviously have forgotten that the mic is right there, too. Just snuggle up there next to Andy.
I'm not going to get that close to that. Anyway, I'd love to stand next to the wonderful smile of Kara.
All right, kumbaya, everybody. By the way, coming up, second half of the show, Rosa Shores and Gabe Higgins. I'm sure they go through this at Block Spaces all the time. Anyway, there was the issues of manipulation. There was the surveillance of the exchange, which was an issue which, interestingly enough, the NASDAQ is using the Winklevoss's patent to surveillance on the project that they're working on. The bid and ask spreads vary across exchanges. Actually, if you were to look at it
Actually pretty tight. I mean,
yeah, compared to where it was 2 years ago or the year ago when the appeal was reappealed.
Henry, I think, frankly, the SEC is going to have a change of heart and some excuse. This will turn around. I'm absolutely convinced of it. They have to do that.
I have to agree with that just from following our chats here and other blowback within social media. It doesn't make sense.
Well, we have
but it's
some.
It's fascinating because it's so public. So I'm watching this train wreck.
There's a fourth mic.
What you did. Yeah,
right. Too many people watch the news to know that, and therefore you shouldn't watch the news. Or you shouldn't watch your. You should not
there
watch your cell phone, and you should not watch
show.
Anything else. You should just go to sleep.
Subtext here.
After
no.
the show, you can go to sleep. Anyway. As I'm running through these, because I know Andy's researched all these, and I'm trying to do the setup here. The bid-ask spreads vary across widely. We already talked about that. The volumes in the futures market are too small. It's only 20% of platinum. But at the same time, we've found a doubling in the futures market, new records happening in the U.S. There's already exchange-traded funds in Europe, and there's futures regulated futures markets in Europe and and London. So anyway, that leaves us the last or most likely Bitcoin ETF application, the VanEck SolidX Bitcoin Trust. Now, that was brought to the SEC by the CBOE, the Chicago Board of Options Exchange. It has VanEck Financial, which is a respected and actually quite successful commercial investment fund company. The SolidX, I'm not too sure about them. I guess it's more the proprietary technology that they bring to it. And this is set.
I think SolidX does the security or the custodial part of it.
All right. So they bring that solution to it. And then also the VanEck ETF will only be open to accredited investors that have $200,000, which will be get you one share of that. So go ahead and break this down for us before we get into Hester Pierce's dissent. What is when you were reading this and going over it, Andy, what explanation would you have advocated on why it should have been approved in regards to those points?
Well, again, I mean, there's nothing in there in the Exchange Act that says that you have to surveil, you have to provide surveillance for other exchanges. It only says you have to provide surveillance for your exchange to ensure that there's no manipulation or fraud. And with the, it is a liquid market with arbitrage traders. The Winklevoss's, the Winklevoss's point was that it's on so many exchanges and with arbitrage trading, any type of manipulation would be quickly distributed throughout the whole system. And that's a valid point. It's the same as the stock market.
Well, the part two of that is that their surveillance system wasn't good enough. Also,
no, they didn't
point.
Say that wasn't good enough.
No.
It was that they weren't able to survey other markets. They even said in there, okay, we see you provided surveillance for your market, but because it's traded overseas and you can't provide surveillance for them. And that was the reason that they turned them down, allegedly.
That isn't an accurate statement. I mean, your statement is accurate, but their statement at the SEC isn't accurate, or at least it isn't up to date, because the NASDAQ also uses that surveillance, as we said, but then they either license or furnish it out to five other cryptocurrency exchanges. So, again, not really an up-to-date decision here. Let's before we go into the dissent, and I'm not sure how many people have heard that yet either, in the studio, rather, or read it, any other comments on this before I go to a commercial break and we come back with the dissent? No? Okay. You're listening to the Henry Rains Show. And we'll be back right after this. If you're a business owner, you need to start listening right now to find out how a few feet of empty floor space can turn into a steady stream of both money and new faces into your business. Hosting a Bike Federal Bitcoin ATM
gives you a leg up on your competition by giving your location a destination-oriented visitor that will come back time and time again. Frequent Bitcoin ATM customers become frequent shoppers in your storefront. To find out more, just call 877-855-BYTE, B-Y-T-E, or 877-855-2983, and you'll be talking to the same local business experts you've heard on the Henry Raines Show. Or just go to BYTEfederal.com and fill out the simple form to begin hosting a Bitcoin ATM in your business. Don't wait. Start earning new revenue and seeing new customers right away. Call 877-855-BYTE, B-Y-T-E. That's 877-855-2983, or go to BYTEfederal.com.
There's a new way to experience wellness. Hi, I'm Laura Alcover, owner and operator of Alcover Massage. We're the first business in Bradenton's Village of the Arts to accept cryptocurrency. Whether you use Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, or Litecoin, you can now pay for quality massage therapy using cryptocurrency at Alcover Massage. So if you seek medical massage or a relaxing session with light pressure, your session will be conducted by a talented therapist. You'll be glad you booked with us. Check out and like our Facebook page where you can book online in seconds. And remember to tell your friends. Give us a call, 941-592-3187. That's 941-592-3187. Alcover Massage, quality massage therapy in your neighborhood. MA number 50525, MM number 34081.
Hey, this is Brian. I listen to every week. I really like it. Me and my wife, we just stop our cars every Saturday at 12 o'clock. Make sure we listen to the show. It's great. I'm learning a lot about these cryptocurrencies. Keep on listening.
Henry Raines Show here, WWPR 1490 AM. In the studio, we have blockchain CPA Kara Haas, science fiction romance novelist Sabine Priestley, Augie, Indescribable, and Goldbug One, the SeekingCryptos.com co-founder, TradingView.com columnist, and also referred affectionately to as Andy. And before we get into the dissent from Hester Pierce of the SEC, what's happening with SeekingCryptos.com? Man, I'm getting so much content.
We were overwhelmed.
Why can't I just sit in front of my TV and get all this content, Andy?
I tell you what, we were overwhelmed the first week, and it's finally starting to settle down. But the first week was a little crazy, much more than we ever expected. We didn't think we'd have this many.
Four things a day now.
Huh? Yeah. Well, you know, we have some good content providers with Kara and Gillian and Mark and myself, and you know, so it's going really good. So there's some good content out there. And we're being rewarded with a bunch of followers and subscribers, too.
And Kara, what's your latest
So I've been just gleaning a little bit of information on each of the, what we now like to call the Fab Five of the potential assets that Coinbase is looking at listing. And I'm not publishing as much as I am working on a comprehensive piece with
Andy.
For
the potential five new listings for Coinbase, you're doing a review of that?
Yeah, doing a review of that. And
people still have time to subscribe and get the premium service
absolutely.
So they won't miss out on anything.
Yeah,
Kara has to
the one on, we did a, that was what the argument was about Thursday, was our conjunctive thing on Brave and Batcoin.
For sure.
All right. Well, we've got that coming up in just a little bit. Let's go ahead and get to... Well, Sabine, when are you going to contribute some of your writing to SeekingCryptos.com? I mean, they need a little imaginative...
Do we need an alien coin? Is that what you're
saying?
That's it. Yeah, I'll work on that. I know somebody that
space
can...
Space romance coin.
Well, you were going to tell us about something you attended this week. Not to go into detail yet, but what was that?
Yeah, so that was SEPEX. It's the Startup Expo in Fort Lauderdale, which was brilliant.
So you need to add news of the space into the, not of space, of the blockchain space and innovation and art, alternative finance, if you will.
There you go, because you need more content.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I want to never have to look away from my phone. I want it to constantly ding with thinking fresh notes so that I won't be forced into having any kind of life. Okay, so if you were trying to listen through all that and keep this train of thought, we were talking about the Bitcoin ETF, the Winklevoss Gemini Exchange Bitcoin ETF that was rejected. Hester Pierce was the solo dissent in the 3-1 decision rejecting that ETF. Although I'm curious, because if you go to the SEC website, thanks to Andy's link, there are only, including the chairman, there's only 4 officials there, 3 commissioners, the chairman, and it's supposed to be a panel of 5. So I don't know where the 5th one is, but we could even come up with a deadlock on the next vote then. So, but summarize this Hester Pierce's.
I think that's why
dissent.
They moved it to, they said they probably wouldn't be a decision to March.
That's a whole different timeline thing. It didn't refer to anything about not having a quorum or something like that. But so what is your takeaway? Because the initial decision was 92 pages. Hester Pierce's dissent was, I don't know how many pages.
Yeah,
like
1 or 2, yeah.
No, it was like 10. I was trying to
get somewhere. I guess I was looking down a web page. It just keeps scrolling.
Yeah, yeah, it was about 10 pages. I'm looking at it
right
here.
Okay.
Anyway, conclusion, by precluding approval of cryptocurrency-based ETPs, I'll jump ahead. Bitcoin is a new phenomenon. The Kish, however, is not well-positioned to assess the likelihood of outcomes, et cetera. What were your takeaways from this?
Well, I agree with her 100%. I mean, there's other if this is what the standard that they're going to go by in determining ETFs, then a lot of the ETFs that we have out there don't meet that standard already. And that was pretty much what she's saying, and you're setting a dangerous precedent.
So you agree on the inconsistency, but what does that foreshadow for the CBOE?
Well, this is a whole different, I'm going to the conspiracy theory here, is I just don't think that the people that sit around the big boy table were going to let the Winklevoss get to the market first with an ETF. I mean, the first to market is going to be the biggest. GLD
well,
is,
you say conspiracy, but
I don't think it's,
let me just say one thing.
Okay.
Rich, powerful people don't need a conspiracy to act in their common interest.
No, they just
they
know
what they need
exactly.
to do.
Exactly. But look at, all you have to do is look at, the Goldman Sachs, all the Goldman Sachs alums that are involved in this, and it's phenomenal. I mean, it's from Mario Draghi, all the way down to 2 commissioners on here.
You were telling us on the break. And
Mario Draghi, Steve Mnuchin. And then you have Jay Clayton.
How are they involved in this? Well, Jay Clayton. He is the chair. So
that's
let's
correct.
Start with
and
him.
Then
what's his connection?
Well, he was an attorney for the a law firm that represented Goldman Sachs, and his wife was a wealth manager for Goldman Sachs.
Other than that,
I can't think of the other gentleman's name on there, but he was also an attorney for a law firm that covered Barclays and Goldman Sachs, and then CBOE. Gene Greco, but it's
it's just
okay. He worked for an attorney firm that was on Goldman Sachs, and so the CBOE's got their ETF in there, and you just have so many people from Goldman Sachs making this decision, and Goldman Sachs bought.
Let's just speak to that for a second, because you're laying it out in this area. We have, I think, 3 cabinet members in the Trump administration that are Goldman Sachs alumni.
Absolutely.
You have
the Prime Minister of Australia. Hillary Clinton, yeah. She worked for Goldman Sachs.
Not only that, her daughter, Chelsea,
that's
is married to a key Goldman Sachs person.
Yeah. Goldman Sachs is pretty thorough throughout the world in politics and in power.
So
even the Prime Minister of Australia is from Goldman Sachs, as well as the chair of the London Bank. He's from Goldman Sachs. There's so much Goldman Sachs out there. It's amazing. You think there'd be a J.P. Morgan in there, or somebody else, but there's not. It's all Goldman Sachs.
All right. So what are we looking at for coming up here? The CBOE filed the notice on June 2nd, although it wasn't published till a few days later. So that's going to put the first 45 days out until August 16th. The SEC has almost automatic ability to add another 45 days. So that pushes us out to the end of September. Do you think we're going to have a decision by then?
I think you'll get one from the, and it'll be in favor of the CBOE. I think they will get that. And the reason is they're going to come back and they're going to say the CBOE already has set in place surveillance through the futures market. So they're surveilling two markets as opposed to one market, and that'll be the tilting to the decision. It'll probably be a 3-to-1 decision.
All right. Well, not disagreeing with your ultimate outcome, legal expert Jake Chervinsky, who, if you go to his Twitter account, you'll find the link to his law firm, which are some pretty heavy hitters there. He states that he doesn't think that this can happen sooner than March 4th of 2019. So we're out there almost 9 months. He said the first five-day extension pushes out to September 24th. Then you expect 90 more days for the ETF to address grounds for disapproval. So they cannot close the door on it, but they can say a few things need to be addressed.
You have to clarify this, yeah.
Yeah, and then you get another 60 days that they can allow if a longer period is appropriate. So with the 45 plus 45 plus 90 and 60, you're out at 240 days, and he sees the first week of March as the most likely target.
I don't know. I don't think it'll be that long because they want to get in before that. I mean, every analyst out there from a major exchange is expecting 20,000 on Bitcoin this year. I mean, there's very few that are saying, you know, for many of the major, you know, Tom Lee and all of them, they're thinking, oh, it's going to go to 4,000. Most of them have a $20,000 target. So why would by the end of the year? So why would they wait till next year before they get the ETF out there? I think they would want
to. So that the individuals and hedge fund managers can accumulate.
Well, I think they've already accumulated. I think that's a done deal already.
Well, then they would want the price to start rising.
Yeah. Well, they'd want to get people to start buying before the price starts rising.
All right. Well, we will see.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. I mean, but there's a lot of politics and there's a lot of, I guess what you call the deep state involved. I guess we could throw the Rothschilds in there. Hillary Clinton's definitely involved. I know that.
Well, every country has a deep state. They have, there are financial interests and powerful industrial interests that exercise their influence on the nominal government.
Absolutely. I mean, the banks have been involved they're involved in more fraud than anything. I mean, even with back in 2014 and 2016, they had the taxi fraud with the banks going into the Federal Reserve meetings, where they actually had monitored the bank executives getting in taxis with Federal Reserve, with people that were privy to the Federal Reserve, decision, and it had that all monitored and everything, and the banks got fined for that. Of course, they get a $60 million, $80 million fine. It doesn't mean nothing to them because all the money they made in manipulating the market are being positioned on the right side.
Let's shift gears right now. And
bank manipulation, folks, it's real.
Because we can maybe take this up later in the show towards the end. But yeah, if you did foreign studies, you learned about the deep states of other nations, which just was a term that wasn't supposed to be used in the U.S. And if you go in the 50s and United Fruit and the oil industry, they directed our government, you could have called it the deep state, but nobody was going to call it the deep state back then because until Eisenhower talked about the military-industrial complex, that wasn't what we talked about.
Well, now you're on to something.
Well, thank you. Let's see what else we got going on.
Yeah, 3M is manipulating the market. That's what they're doing.
Let's get to
the big industrials.
And although her music liner for this is not all about trouble, I just had to play it.
Talking trouble.
There's a trouble.
Are you bringing us the opposite of trouble today?
I am bringing the opposite of trouble. I guess the trouble in this whole thing was Andy. Andy accepted the trouble on behalf of everyone else. So we spent a lot of time working out the difference between...
That was his cross to bear?
Yeah. It was. So he made it stellar, if you will. Even though... But the Brave browser, I really have spent quite a bit of time with it since we last talked a couple weeks ago. It's been two shows now, I think. That it really is such a clean, fast interface.
Well, remind our, because if it's been a couple of weeks, you need to remind the audience, why did we ever start talking about the Brave browser?
So we originally started talking about the Brave browser when Coinbase had introduced the next five potential assets that it's seriously considering. And the basic attention token, BAT, is the token used, the native token on the Brave browser. And it's a web-based browser born out of the creation of a co-founder of Mozilla Firefox. He also was the creator of JavaScript, which is a very popular coding language. And they also have a significant team. The first employee of Coinbase. I can't recall her last name, and I can't believe I can't, but Jan, I believe, in charge of the security and privacy. Hands down, she's been involved in every security and privacy tour, HTTPS, anywhere.
They're definitely the dream team of,
Yeah, they really have a strong team. And the browser itself is extremely fast. You have the option. You can still use Google as your search engine if you wish. Or the search engine I typically use is DuckDuckGo, just because it doesn't do a lot of tracking. And
does it quack at you?
No, this is important stuff.
It does, have a, really, have a really cute
No
shirt.
Levity. No levity.
No levity. Okay. No levity.
Henry can see Have I not already? I mean, wasn't Thursday's exercise enough to
I swear, Henry, I was glad I was further in an arm's length away from her.
Make you realize that I take this seriously? But it's a super clean interface. I have trouble with Google Chrome, not relative to Internet Explorer or any of the predecessors, but the settings just to me are clunkier. You got to drill down. You got to go all over the place. This is a clean way to access the settings in it. Additionally, I think it's key for introducing mainstream and people who have not attempted to do anything with blockchain technology or the cryptocurrency market and are interested. I think it's a beautiful bridge because it.
Before you go any farther, let's just sort of recap. So people that are now using Chrome or even Internet Explorer or maybe even the Apple Safari, but they're worried about privacy, it would be, and speed, those would be the people that really will need to pay attention about the Brave browser.
Absolutely, because it does not, it blocks the third-party data mining trackers that of the companies that are trying to data mine the cookies.
Okay.
And also advertising in general. There's no advertising that on your mobile phone in particular, if you're not an unlimited user, it's down, like if you're using Google Chrome or Safari on your phone, you're downloading ads and trackers, which takes longer to load.
So we can put Brave on all our devices?
You can put Brave on all your devices.
Have you put it on your phone?
I have.
And you like it there too?
I love it on my phone too. It is now officially my default browser.
Okay. But you said you could use the Google search.
You can.
So isn't Google still grabbing all your stuff that you search for then?
The way it works underneath, so you can opt for more privacy by toggling on DuckDuckGo for your privacy search, but to the degree that it can from a Google search engine, yes, or some of the impact from Brave security, if it can automatically block it, it will.
Easy for you.
If that helps. Yeah, apparently it wasn't.
Right.
It was easier to just say yes.
All right. So we'll be looking at this over time because I'm intrigued by it because I get a little I'm of two minds on this. I love the convenience of Google reading my mind and telling me what it thinks they want to know because it's usually right.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, I'm a little disturbed about Google reading my mind and telling me what it thinks it wants.
Well, what's even worse is when you do it on your computer and then you go to your phone and Google all of a sudden is pulling up those. That's kind of freaky. That's actually freaky.
And I will say DuckDuckGo has increased in what it returns. I can get a reasonable search out of DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo.
And has any? We're going to have to go to Gabe and Rose in just a second. Hopefully they're listening. I'll let you speak in a second, Sabine. Let me just ask this question though: has anybody found that they've been not searching on something? But wait, who's Android in here? I use an Android phone. Everybody else is an iPhone. Okay.
We keep it American.
Oh.
Don't chase that squirrel.
All right.
Go, Henry.
So, who else has talked about something, but not searched on it, but talked about it in the presence of the phone, and you see ads coming up on it? You don't have to raise your hand on the radio. Cara, I have. Augie has.
I never paid attention to it.
I didn't pay attention to it either.
It's because you're sleeping.
No, but that speaks to where I was going with this, is that you're weighing the convenience of giving up privacy for privacy. Mm-hmm. And that, increasingly every day, the convenience of giving up that privacy is massive.
Well, I don't think anything's truly ever private, and you're only as private as your operating system.
All right.
Your operating system and the number of microphones that are around listening to everything.
We're going to take a break, and we'll come back with Rosa Shores, Gabe Higgins, co-founders of Block Spaces.